Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
Revolutionary Life.
This is the program here on Block Talk Radio that deals with the issues in our lives that affect our lives every day. Some directly, some issues are indirectly affecting us. But we deal with these issues from a revolutionary point of view. You don't hear me. Listen to our presentations. You might have heard of the topic, but you may never have heard of the topic addressed this way. Revolutionaries like to keep their fingers on the pulse. We like to be in the vanguard of change. Change is something that is constant. It's the reactionary that tries to hold change back. This is revolutionary life. And we here from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Central Standard Time every weekday night, Monday through Friday, guys. Monday through Friday, you never know what the topic's going to be. So if you like what you hear, if you like to hear more, there's a follow button on my site. Hit that button and you'll be alerted when we're live. And you'll get a heads up on what the topic's going to be. Also, all of our shows are archived. So you can go back and look at older shows. You can go back and look at this show in about an hour after it's over. It's Friday. Friday here at Revolutionary Life, what we do is we recap the week. Now, this is going to be something that works out fine for people who've missed some of the presentations down through the week. This will be fine for people who wanted to comment because this is a call-in show. There's a whole section of this show set aside for no other reason than to receive your phone calls and texts. We also have a chat room open. So at a certain point, I'll open my chat. I'll be giving out our phone number, and I'll be taking call-ins, and I will announce that period in every show. I call it your time to shine. So it's a call-in show, guys. And so if you've heard any of the previous presentations, you want to speak on them, this would be the time. And tonight, Friday night wrap up, we're going to go over some of those topics we visited this week. And one of them, let's go through all of them. The first one, we talked about, I had to do another thing on cryptocurrency. I have friends, I have acquaintances, people I know who are very excited or interested in getting into the cryptocurrency melee, I call it. And so I had to do a piece on that for them. And also, we did a piece here on war on women. We actually asked the question, is there war on women? To deal with that piece, we start going back to see if we could find the source of this, what looks like a war on women. But it was interesting, guys. So hang in there. We'll recap that. And all of these presentations are archived, remember, so you can see the whole presentation. You can listen to the whole thing on any one of these topics just by hitting our on-demand section. We're going to recap the one we did on gambling. Underneath the concept of gambling, and then only include casinos, I also included Wall Street and speculation. That was a good one. And it was called Nobody. Nobody likes to gamble. Even gamblers. Especially not the casinos. Privacy was our last issue that we did this week. Somebody asked me, were their cell phone listening to them? Somebody asked me if the cell phone is listening to everything I say, they say. So I did a whole presentation on privacy, listening devices and the like. And so that's a very good one on security and privacy. We talked about something called defensive security, and we talked about something called offensive security. That's two kinds. You don't want to miss that. And so those were the topics of the week, guys. Cryptocurrency, the war on women, gambling, and privacy, yours. And so if you missed any of those presentations, if you'd like to hear a little recap of each one of them, if you'd like to comment, or if there was one of those presentations you wanted to comment on in some way and you never got a chance to, this is your chance on Friday night, because Friday is our wrap-up of the week, of the topics of the week. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Who's listening in? And when I get back here, we're going to delve into the week's topics. And I guess we'll start with crypto. Still in the news. Still a hot topic, I think. And so, and for some people. And so we'll jump into that one when we get back. Let me give you a little music. Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. This is Friday night, guys. Friday night on Revolutionary Life, we do a wrap-up. We call it the Friday night wrap-up. The Friday night wrap-up just recaps. Just a little recap of the topics we covered this week. And you have to remember, guys, we here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And so this week, Monday through Friday, we did several presentations, and on the Fridays, we recap those. We just go through a quick recap. That's for people who missed any of those presentations, people who still like to comment. It is a call-in show. It does have a chat room. And so people who probably heard those conversations in our on-demand section, because they got that, they saw them later, or people who participated who want to say something never did, they'll get a chance in our call-in section to comment on any one of the topics we discussed this week. And so we're going to start out with cryptocurrency, guys. This week we talked about cryptocurrency. Now, we've spoken about money and fiat currency and the like before in some of our older presentations, and you can go back and get those. What happened to money is called. It used to be worth something. And then we went on to talk about crypto a little bit. Well, in this one, I brought up crypto again. Because, again, like I said, I got friends who are interested in crypto. So I did a little piece here. This week we did a piece on crypto's history. You see, that particular presentation is like what happened to crypto currency. It doesn't exist. The name is incorrect. The name is not a definition for what's out there right now. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cardano, you name it. Then Dogecoin, XRP, none of that stuff is currency. So just putting the name currency on it doesn't make it currency. It's not. It's not. And so when we did this thing on cryptocurrency, we went back to the history of this concept. And when I first heard about it, I thought it was revolutionary. Maybe others did too, but I thought, damn, this is a way to break away from the central banks, the big money bankers, the international bankers. Once I drop that dollar, once I don't have to deal in dollars anymore, I've cut myself loose from these central bankers and this Federal Reserve system. To me, that's getting off the grid. Let's make our own currency. Let's create our own kind of currency, free of the fetters of the feds, the IRS and all them people, our banks, finance charges, and all that stuff. We can trade with each other. We can buy and sell from each other. And nobody knows what we bought, who we bought it from, how much we paid for it. We can keep our money in a crypto wallet that's safe because it's in a blockchain. Blockchain is a security. We'll get to that. And so I'm thinking, let's make our own money. Let's step away. Let's get off of this fiat money. This money that I back by anything, these promissory notes, these Federal Reserve notes, these IOUs that we're passing around, debt, buying and selling shit with debt. And so there's so much you can do about, you can go into about the worthlessness of the currency and its value. Biden, President Biden, is going to come up with trillions of dollars for this infrastructure program. Well, everybody's saying, well, they're just going to print more money. Because the country's in debt, right? There's a debt clock that can show you how much debt we're in every minute. So where are we going to get this money from? Are we going to borrow it? Yeah. We're going to have the Federal Reserve print this money. Or somebody's, the government's, yeah, it's going to print this money. And so everybody's saying, well, it's going to cause inflation. You know, that's too much money now. The more money out there, the worthless it is. You know, scarcity makes something dearer. Scarcity makes something more expensive in this society, where abundance makes it cheaper. And so if there's abundant money now being printed up out of thin air, not backed by anything, everything is going to cost twice as much. Well, maybe three times as much. Everybody's afraid of something called inflation. And that's what it is. It's like inflating a balloon. We're going to blow up the money supply to some giant trillion-dollar size with bad money, with fiat currency, paper, IOUs. And so if you don't want to be a part of that, that was an alternative coming in. This Sakamoto guy that nobody knows who he is has come up with a different currency that we can use that's not attached to the banks. That was revolutionary. That's getting off the grid. What happened? What the hell happened? We ended that presentation on cryptocurrency by explaining what just happened to cryptocurrency and those dreams about getting off the grid, those dreams about having our own currency being a revolutionary move. It is not currency. That is to say, you can't take it to the store, the filling station, the gas station, the Kroger, the grocery store, nowhere. When you walk in, all the prices in your store, when you look at the gas prices, they're going to all be calculated in dollars. If you ain't got dollars, you don't buy, you can't purchase these items. The items is not expressed in terms of dollars and Bitcoin, just dollars. So until Bitcoin can be used to buy and sell stuff anytime, anywhere, like the dollar bill can, you just go in your pocket and pull out some dollars, you got your gas, you got your food, and you're on your way. You can't do that with Bitcoin. In fact, here's the problem. Today, Bitcoin, if you want to buy Bitcoin, you pay dollars, fiat currency, for your Bitcoin. If you want to do a transaction with Bitcoin, you convert it into dollars, fiat currency. If you want to sell your Bitcoins, what you get back in return for that sale is dollars. If a Bitcoin is worth $60,000, if you sell it for $60,000, you don't expect to get $60,000 worth of Bitcoin. You expect to get 60,000 buck bills, dollars, greenbacks, ducats, dust, cash money. And so crypto is just another dollar. It doesn't get you away from dollars. Not if you have to use dollars to buy it. It doesn't get you away from dollars. Not if you have to transfer it into dollars to make a purchase. It doesn't get you away from dollars. That when you sell your Bitcoin, you get dollars in return. It's just another dollar. Company stripped. It's not a currency, right? Because you can't go to the store with it like you can a dollar bill. And so what is it? Some people say it's a store of value. It's going to replace gold as a store of value. Well, would you like to store your value in something as volatile? I mean, something that somebody can, that Elon Musk can make a tweet, and when you wake up the next day, you lost all your money. In 24 hours, everything can disappear. You call that a store of value? It's a little too volatile, guys. It might go up to 60,000, but then you wake up in the morning, it's 30,000. You wake up the next day, it's 20,000. So It is volatile. Let's put it that way. Up and down, large swags up and down. And so that's not exactly a stable place to store anything. All right. So as a store of value, as an asset, they call it, financial asset, not currency. It's just a financial asset, they call it. Down to, and what we wrap that up with, is that it's just good enough. It works well for those who like to speculate. Day traders, short-term money-grabbing gamblers. That's who it works for. Nobody else. The dream of a Bitcoin being worth a Bitcoin is gone. Now Bitcoin is worth a dollar. So many dollars. So how is that getting away from the dollar? The inventor of Bitcoin wanted one day for one Bitcoin to equal one Bitcoin, as opposed to how many dollars can I get? How many Bitcoins can I get for a dollar? As opposed to how many dollars I can get for a Bitcoin. In other words, the base currency hasn't changed. It's still the dollar. You get fiat currency, you deal in fiat currency, you buy with fiat currency, whether you got a Bitcoin or not. You back to the fiat. You haven't gotten away from it. So let's forget currency. Let's forget crypto being off the grid and all the revolutionary move. None of that. It's just company stripped. That was our presentation on the Bitcoin. On all the crypto currencies out there. And that's what happened to them. They went from a dream of breaking us away from the central banks to no dream, to just gambling, to just a casino, to just hustling, pumping and dumping. And so, if you like to gamble, we said, go at it. But if you're looking for something to invest in, come on now. You want to invest in something like that? It's not for investors, it doesn't seem. It seems it's only for speculation, which I call gambling. That's all it is. The other subject we talked about this week, guys, was something we call war. We asked the question, is there a war on women? Think about that. Why would we ask that question? What is that about? Is there a war on women? Let's talk about that. I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to think about it. And we'll be back. And we'll talk about that. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. And tonight, it's Friday night. Friday night, we do our Friday night wrap-up. That's where we go back over some of the topics of the week. One of them was cryptocurrency. We just did that before we went for the break. And now, we're going to do the next presentation we did this week called Is There a War on Women? We started this presentation out by dealing with by looking at some of the issues that are still out there right now. And we talked about everything from the Me Too movement to these battered women shelters out there, all the things that are going on out there today. Now, we went back 100 years to look at the status of women 100 years ago. We pointed out that in the 1800s, 1865, this country passed a law against enslaving people for fun and profit. Previously enslaved people of color. Once slavery was outlawed, we had a period called in this country called Reconstruction. Look it up, guys. During that period in the 1800s, late 1800s, 1870s, black men who were slaves a few years ago were allowed to vote. Not only were they allowed to vote, in Mississippi, in the state of Mississippi, in 1898, we had a black lieutenant governor. Before the Civil War, these people were enslaved. They were considered property. You could buy and sell these human beings. You could lynch them, kill them, and get away with it. They were considered property. You could get a loan on them. Yeah, the bank would take them as collateral on a loan. People. You could sell their children off. You could breed them out like you would cattle. They were just property. Once slavery was over, they were allowed to vote. And in fact, in Mississippi, we ended up with a lieutenant governor that was black, a former slave. Now, the interesting thing about it is that it wasn't until it wasn't until the early 1900s that white women were fighting to vote. You've heard of the suffrage movement, women's suffrage. This was a movement in the early 1900s where women fought for the right to vote. White women. You don't hear me. A black slave, ex-slave, ex-property, chattel, who was thought of as nothing but livestock, had the right to vote and could hold office before a white woman could. Is there a war on women? We went back another 100 years. I told you. I told you that in jolly old England, in Europe, and places like that, oftentimes women, were used to seal deals. If a king wanted to expand his kingdom by incorporating another king's kingdom with his, he would have his daughter, whether she wanted to or not, he would have his daughter marry the son of the other king, or vice versa. Once that marriage was made, the two kingdoms were united. Now, the guy and the girl who married, who was sent to be married to each other, didn't know each other, wasn't in love with each other. These marriages were arranged marriages. I told you this was the source of the runaway bride. Brides used to take off and run. They had no intention of marrying this person, but they was being made to. And the runaway bride led to something you call a wedding ring. It was never called a wedding ring. It was called a wedding band, B-A-N-D. You don't hear me. It wasn't a ring. It was a wedding band. The origin of the wedding band was when you took your wife-to-be, to the altar, you tied a rope around her wrist or like a handcuff, and then the rope around your wrist. So she could not run away. There was an epidemic of runaway brides because they didn't choose to marry these people. And so you would secure that. You would make sure she showed up because you would tie a band around her wrist and a band around your wrist. And you would take her before the judge. That later became a wedding band on a finger. And later something y'all call a wedding ring. But that's not its origin, baby. Never was. We went back another 100 years. And I told you that the Catholic Church said the worst problem they had in introducing Christianity to pagans was these pagans would continue to worship women. And the church wanted them to concentrate on the man, Jesus Cristo, Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. But every time they looked around, these folks were more likely to have a picture of the Mother Mary, even though they had converted to Catholicism. They were more likely to have a icon of the Mother Mary than Jesus. Because their history, in their history, there were goddesses. But with the coming of Judeo-Christian religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there were no goddesses. There was God the Father. There was the Son. But there was no mother. There was no mother goddesses. That was out the picture. Something happened there. And the ancient people, people who had been worshiping women forever, matrilineal societies, was an anathema to the burgeoning Roman Catholic, Judeo-Christian, Abrahamic religions. Abrahamic religions, and I took you all the way back to the beginning of the Brahmin, the A-Brahmin. And the Brahmin, and I took you all the way back to the invasion of the Indus Valley by the Aryan, who couldn't understand how women could be running anything because they ruled by might. Their leadership had to be able to fight. I told you, even in the movie Black Panther, so benevolent was this community. However, when they were getting ready to decide who would be the king, they had to have a fight, a physical, violent fight that could end in death of one or the other. And the one who won the fight got the throne. This came down from the Aryans. And so they knew a woman couldn't beat them in warfare. And so how could a woman be in charge of anything? So when they came south, when the Aryan came south, into the Indus Valley, what is now India and that area, they saw all these matrilineal societies. When I got to Africa, they saw these matrilineal societies. That bugged them the most is that land was the purview of the female in that society. even if you were a Pharaoh, you couldn't take possession of the land unless it was granted to you by a royal woman. So if you had to have a mock marriage with your sister to get possession of the land, you had to, because a woman had to give you possession of Mother Earth, you know. That's what they found. That's what the Aryan found when he got here. And he flipped that script. And we got the Brahmin religion. First time we ever heard of a caste system where lighter skinned was on the top of the economic scale and the darker skin was the untouchable, who was left to do menial labor generation after generation. We got that class system going. We got that racial system going. And we got that denigration and oppression of the woman. And all the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there were always special laws against women. And women couldn't be imams. Women couldn't be priests. Even today, if a woman is a nun in a nunnery, an abbey, then there's always a male priest over every woman's nunnery, or abbey, over the nuns. There has to be a male over them. So this kind of behavior has been going on for a long time, guys. And so finally, I wrap this conversation up with explaining to you a science that's practiced in this country and the world, called animal husbandry. And I ask you to look that up. What is this science called animal husbandry? That's right, husbandry, S-U-S-B-A-N-D-R-Y. It's the practice of domesticating farm animals. If you were born in a rural area, if you were born in the city, you might have been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. But if you were a young kid in a rural area, you might have been part of something called a 4-H club. This was an agricultural club. They had fairs. They had who could grow the best tomatoes and pumpkins and who had the prize cattle and that kind of thing. Well, animal husbandry shows you how to domesticate a wild animal. And I told you. I told you. That's how the rodeo got started. The rodeo was all about breaking wild animals. The cowboy who rode a wild horse until his spirit was broken was a bronco buster. He was called a bronco buster. The bronco was a wild horse, and his job was to break that horse's spirit. And if he didn't break his arm first, getting thrown off the horse. And that's where we got the rodeo, breaking wild animals. This was a part of animal husbandry. This was a part of domesticating animals. I told you that that practice moved into the house of this society. And the wife became the one that needed to be domesticated, broken, barefoot, and pregnant. Is there a war on women, guys? You want to hear that? Go on over there and listen to that previous presentation I did on that, and you'll hear the full historical outlay. And when I come back, our next subject we covered this week is on gambling. You know people who gamble? When I come back, we're going to talk gambling. I'm going to give you some music. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. And revolution is just change, man. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. You know, if you're in the front when change goes down, you might be able to have some say in what it looks like. If you're on the ass end of change, you probably won't have much to say about anything. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And tonight we're doing our weekly wrap-up, our Friday wrap-up. We're just going back over real briefly some of the topics we discussed this week. Everything from cryptocurrency to the war on women. And one of the things we talked about tonight, this week, was gambling. You got friends and relatives who like to gamble, like to hit the casino. Well, under gambling, I didn't just include casinos. Oh, no. I had Wall Street under gambling. There's a type of investing, quote unquote, known as speculating, day traders. These people ain't really investors, guys. They buy stock. Oh, yeah. They buy Bitcoin. Oh, yeah. But they ain't buying it because they believe in Bitcoin. They ain't buying it because they believe in the company who issued the stock. They could care less, as a matter of fact. They bought it to make a quick buck. And they're gone. They'll sell your stock as quick as they bought it. If the price goes up high enough, or it goes down too low, they're gone. They're not going to stand by some company because they own the stock. They didn't buy the stock because they appreciated the company. They bought the stock to wait till it goes up and so they could sell it and make a quick buck. Same thing with Bitcoin. They get everybody to buy Bitcoin because every time you buy one, they're not making any more. So every time you buy one, there's fewer and fewer left. So the price goes up. Once the price gets up high enough, you sell. Get your money back and some. Those who stay in there, and the price goes down, they lose everything. The ones who make out like bandits is the one who get in early and get out quick. Who get in late, I'm sorry, and get out early. When they see the price going up, they'll start getting in. It gets high enough, and they think it's going to go back down, they're going to sell it so quick they make your head spin. And overnight, you can lose everything. See Bitcoin, see cryptocurrency, see what happened this week and last week to people who invested in those things. Somebody told them it was a secure investment. That's a joke. It's not an investment at all. We talked about that. If you want to hear what I have to say on crypto, there's a whole nother section on. But the stock market has a gambling aspect, and it's called speculating. It's called playing the market. Playing the market, not investing. Playing the market. All right? And so it's just like a casino, guys. You see, when you go into a casino, they don't have clocks on the wall in a casino. They don't have windows where you look out of. You can go into a casino in broad daylight and walk out of there, and it's the next morning, or it's midnight. And you don't realize where all the time went. They don't want you to realize where all the time went. They want you to gamble. And they don't want you to leave with their money in your pocket. So if you hit big at a casino, you're going to get free dinners and free drinks and all kinds of attention so you can hang in there and spend some more money. How many people out there listening to my voice, who knows somebody who told you they hit it really big at the casino? Man, I got $1,400, boom, just like that. Came right out the machine, boom, 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 boom. I hit big. I hit that big 777 or whatever, flaming sevens or whatever. And then you ask them, how much you get out of there with? Oh, shoot, I played it all back. You mean you didn't get out of there with nothing? No, I played it all back. See, they don't want you to leave with their money. They want you to keep playing. I told you, The casino, especially the one-armed bandit, is rigged. Legally rigged. It has a computer chip in it. That computer chip is programmed to pay out and not to pay out. I don't care how many times you pull that one arm on that one-armed bandit. I don't care how many, and that little lever you pull don't mean anything, by the way. If you know that, you know it by the fact that you can also push a button called play and spin the little wheels around just like you would if you pull the handle. So the handle is just there for you, enjoyment, I guess. I told you some of the most superstitious people in the world are gamblers. Rabbit's foot, rabbit feet, lucky charms, and the like. And so the gambling in a casino, keeping you in there until you spend every dime you got. They got an ATM in the casino. So you can not only bet the money came in your pocket, you can hit that ATM and take some more money out your bank account. That little computer chip inside of that one-armed bandit, inside of that slot machine, is not going to pay off until it's been programmed to. And it was programmed before you got there. If that program said, after you get $50, pay out $10. After you get $100, pay out $20. But not until. And so it'll collect money. And somebody come by and empty out the little tray and put a brand new empty tray in there and keep collecting money. But that computer chip is counting money. The casino, if the casino has five machines, it knows what each one of those machines will deliver in money already. Because that computer chip is not going to let it pay out until it raises that amount of money, minimal. And so, it's all programmed and you know it. But people will play it anyway. That's on you. But that's gambling. And so, I said in this presentation, nobody likes to gamble. A gambling is a game of chance, not a game of skill. It's not pool. It's not shooting pool. It's not even playing poker. You call that gambling. Those are games of skill. No, pushing a button on a slot machine, throwing a pair of dice, things like that. Games of chance. There's a chance you'll win, there's a chance you'll lose. You take your chances. Place your bet and take your chances. Games of chance are gambling. Nobody likes to gamble. If you like to gamble, why would you try to get an edge? If you like to gamble, why would you read something that says how to win at slot machines? Because you want a heads up. You want an edge. You want to get some kind of edge on this game so you can beat the game. No, if people love to gamble, there wouldn't be anybody trying to slip an electronic device into a casino to screw with the chip inside of that slot machine. If you like to gamble, you wouldn't be rubbing on the machine. I've seen people rubbing on the machine. I've seen people tell you, don't stand behind me while I'm gambling. It's bad luck. I can't win when somebody's standing behind me. Can you move over there? Some of the most superstitious people in the world are at the casino. I don't care what their religion is. They got lucky charms, they got rabbit's foot, they rubbing on the machines, they doing all kinds of things, hoping that it hits, trying to get an edge, man. Why? Why are they trying to get an edge? Because nobody likes to gamble, not really. And I told you, I ended that presentation by telling you that the one person who hates to gamble more than anybody else, it's not some religious family or person. The one person who likes to gamble less than anyone else is the house. And those of you who don't are not familiar with that term, there used to be things called gambling houses. They were just homes that if gambling was legal or illegal, you could go to a certain house. And in the back room back there, they'd be shooting dice and gambling, or a cafe. In the back room back there, they'd be gambling, shooting illegally, gambling in the back room. And so you went to a gambling house. And so now even a casino is called the house. The people who set up the gambling arena, those are the people who hate to gamble. The house never wants to be played. The house wants y'all to win each other's money, but not the house money. So if there's one person who hates gambling, it's the house, baby. Why do you think they dope up horses at the racetrack? And they got laws against insider trading in the stock market, because everybody want to hedge their bets. Everybody wants a heads up. Everybody want to edge. Everybody want to get that pink paper, the Play-Doh odds, to beat the odds. I mean, if you gamble, if you play a game of chance, you don't need any of that. You just go push the button and hope it hits. You throw the dice and hope it falls on what you want to fall on. You don't cuff the dice in your hand in some special way. You don't blow on them. You don't blow on the dice. You don't let somebody touch the dice who's lucky. And then you believe in luck. That's superstition, ain't it? But everybody wants an edge. Nobody likes to gamble. And most of all, it's the house. So the casino don't gamble. They let you gamble. If you can run at the big whales, the big wealthy guys who go into a casino, they don't gamble down there with the riffraff. They got a special room. But the casino is a little bit afraid of them, because the casino is required to cover everybody's bets. And if you bet enough money where nobody at the table can cover your bet, then the house, the casino, is obligated to cover that bet. And the casino hates to gamble. And so the big whales, the guys with the big money, scares the casino. So they get them in there and they get, feed them real good and give them hotel rooms and stuff like that. But they hate to gamble. And so the bottom line was nobody gambles. Nobody really likes to gamble. If I told you I had some oil you could spray on your hand that'll give you good luck at the casino, you buy it. If I told you I had a secret, and you can find this shit on the internet all day, of how to win at 21 at blackjack, or how to win, da-da-da-da-da. Why bother with that if you're a gambler, if you take chances, but you don't take chances? Come on. Nobody likes to gamble. Lastly, guys, we talked about privacy. Somebody asked me, is my phone listening to me, everything I say? And so I did a piece. And you got to hear it, guys, on privacy. I'll be right back. Yeah, right. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. Tonight we're doing our Friday night wrap-up, what we call a Friday night wrap-up. It's just that we just go back over the stuff. You know, we're here every weekday night, and we got a different topic every night. And so on Friday, we go back over those topics, just recap, in case somebody missed it, in case somebody still wanted to comment on one of those subjects or something. It is a call-in show. And so we're entering our call-in section now, as a matter of fact. And so, but I wanted to just finish up on this last piece that we did this week called privacy. Somebody asked me, is my phone listening to me all the time? Well, I did this presentation to point out to you that, number one, if you have a device in your home or on your person that is voice activated, that has a microphone, period. If you got Alexa in your house or Google, one of those little boxes that you can talk to across the room and say, Google, what's the weather? And the little box will answer you. Or you got a Alexa from Amazon in your house, and you say, you ask it to tell you a joke, and it tells you a joke, and all that good stuff. If you got one of those devices that is voice activated, by definition, it has to be listening for your voice. So everything that you have that is voice activated in your home or on your person is listening for you and listening to you. I added to that something you must understand, is that the camera on your laptop, the microphone on your laptop, the camera on your cell phone, the microphone on your cell phone, you are not the only ones who can turn those things on and off. You don't hear me. All it takes to turn your microphone off is a tap, right? You don't have to put in a password or make sure it's you telling it to come on. All you have to do is tap the thing and your mic's on. All you have to do is tap the picture of a camera, that icon, and your camera's on. If all you have to do is tap it to turn it on, you don't have to pass any tests. You don't have to prove it's you turning it on and off. It can be turned off by anyone, on and off. So everything's listening that listens, that answers you when you speak, has to be listening, doesn't it? And every microphone and every camera can be turned on and off without your permission and without your help. I told you in that presentation of privacy, I told you there was a time you had to dial into the internet to get on the internet. Some of y'all might remember AOL, free disk. You could pick up a free disk at a grocery store somewhere, and you could come in and put that disk in and dial them numbers. Deet, 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 deet. You hear the dial going down like a fax machine. Deet, 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 deet. And then bam, you hear something called a handshake. Bam, and now you hooked up to AOL, you online, America online. Now, today, all you got to do is turn your computer on and you online. You don't have to say, I don't want to go online today. You're online, period. Boom. Your ISP, your internet service provider, charges you and puts you online the moment you log in. Moment you turn the machine on, before you log in, it'll tell you whether you're connected, because it seeks the connection itself. So you don't have a choice. You're on the internet, period. Remember that. The day you turn it on, the day you sit down in front of a computer, you're on the net, the World Wide Web. You don't have to dial in, ask permission, use a password to get on the internet. You're on the internet. If you have an internet service provider, you're on the internet. So we talked about security, what's secure and what's not secure. And that presentation, we ended it with speaking about defensive security and offensive security. Defensive security being secrecy. Shh, don't tell anybody. Keep it between me and you. Secrecy, defensive security. But there's also something called an offensive security. And a perfect example of that is your Bitcoin blockchain. Not the Bitcoin, but the blockchain. The blockchain is an open ledger. In other words, your books, your assets and your liabilities, the books that you keep on how much money you got, how much you spent, how much is left, I mean, what your assets are and what your liabilities, all that bookkeeping is a ledger, right? And it's open. It's an open ledger process. That's what they call it, an open ledger process. So your business is open. The difference is that with blockchain, for somebody to get to your open ledger and read it and mess with it or just read it, they have to go through so much that it ain't even worth it. You have to have a computer, a next generation, next century computer out there to compute enough ones and zeros to get to your ledger. It's not worth it. The money you would spend trying to get to somebody's ledger might not even be worth it once you got there. If you got there. And so the security is offensive in the sense that there's so much piled onto your ledger that digging through trying to get to it is just a waste of time. No computer can do that yet. Yet, I said. Even state actors, government computers, as far as I know. I mean, they're coming out with a quantum computer now. It might be able to get to your ledger a lot quicker than what we have out here today. What we have out here today can't do it. Not that it can't be done, but what exists today can't do it, can't get in there. And so it's secure. It's secure only because it ain't worth the time to go look at something that is right there. It's available. It's an open ledger. Not locked, closed. But it takes so much to get into it, it ain't worthwhile trying. Secure, offensive security. And so we ended that session on privacy after we reviewed all the different things. And you can go back and listen to our presentation. We reviewed everything from the cameras on the street to the tags on your car. How many of y'all know the tag number on your car? And I'll tell you that the police behind you knows what it is, and he knows who the car belongs to, and a little bit more than he knew before he pulled up behind you and saw your license tag. You've been tagged a long time ago before there was a street camera. If he wants to know who's driving that car, he pulls you over and asks for your driver's license. How many people know their driver's license number? How many people are familiar with the codes that are on that driver's license? You better bet the police are. So you're already being tracked. As long as you got a tag on the back of your car, you can be followed and tracked. However, it's gotten more sophisticated with the cameras that you can't turn on and off. Even the ones in your house can be turned on without your permission. And so guys, go back and listen to that, and we go through all the different security things that are out there and the privacy issue that's out there and how to address it. We ended that conversation by saying you should proceed as though nothing you do is hidden, can't be found out. Proceed as though you're being watched. Listen to, followed, whatever. Not paranoid, Just don't be naive and think you hide from somebody. Not today. Not today. From the grocery store you just walked out of, to the filling station you just drove by, got your picture, caught you on tape. So guys, proceed as though, and you'll be fine. Whether you use offensive security or defensive security, proceed as though. And I told you, somebody else knows your password. I don't care if you thought up the best password in the world. I don't know. I don't care if you let the computer generate your password. Somebody knows your password other than you. You don't believe me? How is it that they can verify your password if they don't know it? What if you put in the wrong password? How is it they can tell you, oh, that's not it? They couldn't tell you that's not it unless they knew it already. I'm just saying, keep that in mind. If you think you're the only one know your password, I'm in my call-in section, guys. I'm eating up y'all time. Look, my phone number is area code 319-527-6060, 319-527-6060. If you call me, you go straight on to the air. Everybody hears what you got to say. Everybody hears my response. I'm opening up my chat room. Those people who might want to make a comment, have a question, a suggestion, whatever, they can put it in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat. And so if you have questions or comments, I can respond to them via the chat as well. This part of the show I set aside for you. It's my call-in section. I call it Your Time to Shine. I'm going to give you a little music. Go for it.
Come on, come on.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm Gary. I'm your host tonight. Remember, Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, guys. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We look at everything that affects our life from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution has just changed. And tell me, ain't there some things out here that need to be changed? Before we can change anything, we need a little bit of clarity. We need to be clear. I told you, an old revolutionary once said, it is better to know where to go and not to know how, than to know how to go and not to know where. We try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio, guys. We have all of our shows are archived. That is to say, if you're looking at my site, you can scroll down and you will see an on-demand section. That section allows you to go back and play any previous programs, episodes. They're there by topic. You pick the topic, you hit the on-demand button, and you're listening to that show. And you can comment to those old shows. I'll get those comments. And so, if you want to stay up on Revolutionary Life's episodes, then there's a follow button on the site. If you look up to the upper left-hand corner, I believe it's on the left, you will see a follow button. Kick that button, and you'll get a heads up when we're live. When we hit the air. And also an idea of what the topic's going to be ahead of time. Also, right next to that follow button, guys, there is a share button. And I told you, if you know somebody who gambles, we did one on gambling. Maybe you want to share it with them. I told you, we did one on cryptocurrency. You want somebody who want a different, who want to hear a different tack on approach to cryptocurrency? You might want to share it with them. I told you there was a war on women. And if you didn't know what I was talking about, and you know somebody who don't, share it with them. And I talked about privacy this week. Somebody asked me, is my cell phone listening to me? And so I did a whole piece, guys, on security and privacy in today's world and in the past. Everything from your license number, your tags, which tags you. You ever play the game tag? Tag, you're it? Yeah, that's why they call it a tag. Because once you put it on your car, you've been tagged. All the way up to today. But there's a camera everywhere where you don't control the on and off button on your microphone or your camera. You don't control anything at all. It takes us a tap to turn it on and off. You don't have to put in no privacy, no passwords to turn on your mic. All you have to do is tap it. Anything that easy to turn on can be turned on by more than just you. I'm just saying. If you got a device in your home like Lexi, what's it called? Alexia. or that Google box that you speak to across the room. Google, what's the weather? The weather today is, you know, all that. Yes, it's listening to you. It's voice activated. So it must be listening for and to voice. Somebody who's interested in privacy, somebody who may have asked you the question, was these devices listening to you in your home and your privacy? You might want them to hear this presentation. Might help them out. Who knows? Share, man. Hit the share button. It helps the show, yeah, but you might be able to help somebody else or give somebody else something interesting to listen to, something revolutionary. And so we still got a little time left in our call-in section. I call it your time to shine. We got our chat room open. Questions, comments can go right into the chat. I'm monitoring the chat. If you call me, you go right onto the air. Let me give you a little music. We'll be right back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm Gary, your host tonight. This is Friday night. Friday night, May 28th, 2021. Tonight is our, on Friday nights, guys, is our Friday night wrap-up. So what we've done tonight is we've gone and recapped some of the presentations that were done this week. You remember, we're on every weekday night, right? And so all the presentations that we did this week, we recapped them on Friday. Just to go back over some of the things we talked about this week. And also, because it's a call-in show, we give our listeners a chance and opportunity to comment on any one of those presentations that came down this week. If they didn't get a chance to, you know, comment when it was live, they still have that opportunity on a Friday. Those who missed some of those shows, they get a little catch-up on a Friday what those shows were about. And since all of our shows are archived, they can go back to our on-demand section right there on our, right here on the program site. And they can play that entire presentation in its entirety anytime they like. Everything's on demand. This show, about an hour from now, will appear in that on-demand section. So if you couldn't stick around for all of that and you'd like to hear it again, go to our on-demand section. I told you there's a follow button up there. So if you want to know when we're live, follow us. Hit that follow button. Right next to that follow button is a share button. Maybe you know somebody who's interested in some of these topics or would just like to hear some a different angle. Maybe it'll confirm something they already know. I don't know. But it might give them some information they didn't know. It might make them look at things a little bit differently. Who knows? Share it. Be sure to share. All right. And since this Friday night, guys, that means I won't see you again. I won't be able to speak to you again. I won't be speaking to you again until Monday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Starting Monday, we start a whole new week, guys. A whole new week, a whole new set of topics that affect our lives every day. And revolution is just change, and there's a lot of shit need changing. We're going to be addressing those things, but we're going to be addressing them for clarity, for an understanding of how they work. Because if we want to change them, we got to be able to be clear about where we're going, what kind of change we want to see. I told you about that old revolutionary. It's better to know where to go and not to know how, than to know how to go and not to know where to go. I want to thank everybody for listening in who listened in tonight. I believe I got a little more time left in our call-in section, so I'm going to leave my chat room open and my lines open, say for another 10 minutes, probably. I think we got the time. Let's do it. We're open. Questions, comments, hysterical outbursts. It's your time to shine. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host. And tonight, we did our Friday wrap-up. The subjects we talked about all week long, we wrapped them up on Friday, in case you missed them. In case you want to go back to our on-demand section and see the whole thing and listen to the entire presentation, we recapped them for you. And some of those presentations lead to new presentations, more extensive ones, or just jump off to a new one. The one we did on the war, is there a war against women? We didn't have enough time. I'm telling you, there wasn't enough time to explain to you the ethos, the idea that a woman had her place. And from time to time, you might have to put her in her place. In the community I was raised in the community I came up in, it was okay to use these kinds of terms. In fact, if a man respected you and your woman butted into a conversation or said something that made you angry, you wouldn't address her. In respect for the man that she's with, you'd go over to him. And you say, look, man, you're going to have to put your woman back in her place. She's out of pocket. She had a place. And it was his job to put her back in that place. That was normal where I came from. But I didn't blame me. I didn't blame my parents. I didn't blame my neighbors. I didn't blame the folks I went to school with, church with, the neighborhood I lived in. I took you back hundreds of years to an ideology that had something against women. And now, I ran out of time, guys, but it dawned on me that there's a whole nother presentation that I should do, I could do on this subject. That takes us into an esoteric, metaphysical explanation for the war on the divine feminine. I told you that men in the 1700s, Voltaire, Robespierre, them guys, Louis XIV, Napoleon Bonaparte. The 1700s, guys, men would sneak in Paris, France, in Paris, in wonderful Paris, France, the City of Lights, the Eiffel Tower, all that. In Paris, France, men were sneaking into a temple called the Cult of Isis. That's right. Grown men, enlightened men. To keep the church from finding out, because this would have been heretic, this would have been heretic. They could have been persecuted or prosecuted. So they would sneak into this temple in Paris, France, called the Cult of Isis, where they worshipped a goddess, a woman. The church found out about it. And today, the church found out about it and burnt it to the ground. And today, there's a cathedral sitting on top of the Cult of Isis. That cathedral is called the Cathedral of Notre Dame. I want you to understand that in the Latin, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, I want you to understand that in the Latin, Damas, Dame. Madame, Damas means woman. Not only did they burn down the Cult of Isis when they found out men were worshiping women, a woman, goddess, They built a cathedral on top of it called the Cathedral of Notre Dame. It's there today in Paris, France. I told you, the church said the worst thing they had in converting these pagans was to stop them from worshiping women. They would go into these pagans' homes who had converted to Christianity, but they were more likely to see the Mother Mary depicted on the walls than they were Jesus Cristo, Jesus of Nazareth, the one they called the Christ. Because historically, before Christianity came along, women had a place in religion. Not only did they have a place in religion, there were matrilineal societies. Land could not be disputed over, decided on, given away, or whatever, without the permission of a woman. For some reason, women in matrilineal societies of old were in possession of land. It was their purview. Mother Nature, I guess that's where it came from. Mother Nature, Mother Earth. All of that was flipped on its head. Women couldn't own property when the Judeo-Christians arrived, when the Abrahamic religions arrived, when the Brahmin religion arrived, when the Aryans invaded the Indus Valley and everything south of it. But there was the esoteric stuff going on, guys, behind the scenes around the divine feminine. Promise you I was going to talk about that, but we didn't have enough time. And so maybe next week we'll get into the divine feminine in our metaphysical world, our spiritualist world, our world of esoteric people. And we'll talk about the one and the zero. We'll talk about the circle and the angles, the sphere, the spear and the angle, the sphere and the angles. We'll talk about the compass and the square rule. We'll talk about squaring the circle. Oh, yeah. I want to thank everybody who listened in for listening in tonight. And be sure to tune in Monday night. We're going to start this all over again. We're in every weekday night right now. So Monday, 7 p.m., we'll be right here on Blog Talk Radio with Revolutionary Life. And you never know what the subject's going to be, but you know we're going to approach that subject from a revolutionary point of view. Be there or be square. I want to thank you again for listening in. It's time for me to take you out of here. I'm going to take you out with some music. You have a good night. Good Friday night, and I'll see you all. I'll be speaking to you all Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Good night, everyone. Buenas noches. Bono note. Arrivederci. Good night. Ciao.
Pastor. Just a little. I'll just let you
thank you.